This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Have you ever done something so terrible you thought you could never be forgiven? In today's program, we're going to continue our Surprised by God series and talk about the truly amazing grace of Jesus. Please stay with us.
The Bible teaches us that God is full of surprises. This week we're going to take a look at another one of His most delightful and amazing surprises, grace. I hope you'll join us. We begin in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. God of grace and glory, we praise You this day for the wonder of Your creation, the depths of Your redeeming love, and Your continuing grace at work in our lives. Amen. Our reading for today is taken from Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that's in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to them, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you've done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you've done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." To the woman, God said, "I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam, he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you shall eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return." Adam named his wife Eve, because she would become the mother of all living. And then the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and he clothed them. Here ends our reading. Dear friends, how would you describe God? I found a humorous little article written by an 8-year-old named Danny from California who describes God for us. He writes, "One of God's main jobs is making people. He makes them to take care of things here on earth. He doesn't make grown-ups, just babies. I think that's because they're smaller and easier to make. That way he doesn't have to take up his valuable time teaching them to talk and walk. He can just leave that up to mothers and fathers. God's second most important job is listening to prayers. An awful lot of this goes on. Some people, like preachers and things, pray other times than just before bedtime. God doesn't have time to listen to the radio or TV on account of this. Jesus is God's son. He used to do all the hard work, like walking on water and doing miracles and trying to teach people about God who really didn't want to learn. They finally got tired of him preaching to them and they crucified him. But he was good and kind like his father, and he told his father that they didn't know what they were doing and to forgive them. And God said, okay. His dad appreciated everything he'd done on all his hard work on earth, so he told him he didn't have to go out on the road anymore. He could stay in heaven, so he did. You should always go to Sunday school because it makes God happy, and if there's anyone you want to make happy, it's God. Don't skip Sunday school to do something you think would be more fun, like going to the beach. This is wrong. And besides, the sun doesn't come out on the beach until noon anyway. If you don't believe in God, besides being an atheist, you also will be very lonely because your parents can't go everywhere with you, like to camp. But God can. It's good to know that he's around when you're scared of the dark or when you can't swim very good and you get thrown in real deep water by the big kids. But you shouldn't just always think of what God can do for you. I figure God put me here and he can take me back anytime he pleases. And that's what I believe about God. What would you say about God? What words would you use to describe God? A few favorites probably come to mind, like mighty and powerful and big and infinite and good and wise. I'd like to add one more to your list today, though. Surprising. That's what we've been looking at on Christian Crusaders this past couple weeks. God's surprising ways. As you examine the biblical narratives, you find that God is full of surprises. His ways are really not anything like our ways. He operates totally what we might call outside of the box. We saw that in last week's text as we looked at the story of Gideon, God's surprising draft choice for carrying out his purposes. Well, today, we'll observe again God behaving in a surprising way in the Adam and Eve story that we find in Genesis 3. You know, Genesis 3 was written and saved for you and me to describe for us what happened to God's perfect world, how it became such a mess. We sometimes wonder about that. This story is saved to speak to us about why the world is such a mess. Genesis 2 sets the stage for us. The world's perfect. God created it. There's perfect harmony. People loving God, loving each other. All was well. But by the end of chapter 3, suddenly there is a cacophony. Harmony is gone, and there's total discord. God had but one rule for Adam and Eve. He had told Adam, don't eat of the fruit from that tree in the center of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you eat of it, you'll die. But Adam and Eve gave in to that temptation, didn't they? And they ate from the tree. What was the temptation? Well, they were approached by the serpent, who said to Eve, you know, God is really just holding out on you. If you eat the fruit on this tree, you'll be like God. You can run your own life. We call that ego, edging God out, running your own life. So they moved towards edging God out. We see that scenario played out all the time in people's lives, thumbing their noses, edging God out, and insisting on running their own lives, and then making an absolute mess of them. In this sense, Adam and Eve truly are still alive amongst us, and sometimes within us. Everything changed, didn't it? They suddenly realized they were naked and were ashamed. Oh no! What did we do? And to top it off, God takes a stroll in the garden in the cool of the evening and comes looking for them. He calls out, where are you? They ran and they hid. That's what's our nature to do when we've done something wrong, to run and hide from God. Then when God said to them, why are you hiding? When Adam finally came out, he said, I was afraid and I was naked and ashamed. God said, did you eat from the tree? I told you not to. And Adam said, of course, just like human nature continues to work. It's the woman that you gave me. She gave me the fruit and I ate. He blamed her. And when God turned to the woman, Eve said, it was that serpent. We call that projection of guilt, nobody wanting to take responsibility for their actions. Typical. And then comes the judgment, doesn't it? And the consequences. Life is going to be different now. A lot harder. It's going to be a broken world. C.S. Lewis writes about the consequences. Up to the fall, man was empowered by God to control himself. Man doubtless expected to retain this control when he ceased to obey God. But he lost this power when he cut himself off from God. Now God began to rule man through the laws of nature, which brought about pain, senility, and death. This condition was transmitted by heredity to all generations. It was the emergence of the new man, as Scripture tells us in Romans, through one man's disobedience. All of us have been impacted. Anyway, Adam and Eve were driven from the garden, away from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The relationship with God and with each other now was in shambles. It was a mess. There's a new bondage to sin and death that hadn't been there before. But an amazing thing happens in the midst of this tragic story. And if you don't look carefully, you'll miss it. There's a surprise from God. Notice, God doesn't write them off. He does not destroy them. Instead, verse 21 tells us, God cared enough to still provide for them. God provided garments of skins for Adam and Eve, it says. Innocent animals were sacrificed to cover their shame, to care for them. What undeserved favor. We call that grace. God exercising surprising grace. God never let up with it, is what we're going to find as we follow the biblical narrative to the very end of Scripture. We have Cain's mark of protection after he killed his brother Abel that God placed upon him to protect him. There's Noah's ark, the rainbow, and there's the call of Abraham to be a blessing to the nations of the world, even though the world is just totally, totally messed up and falling apart. There's Israel's experience, God's chosen people, the rescue from Egypt, the care for them in the wilderness as they complained and rebelled against God. God showed grace. The taking of the land, God led them by his grace and gave them victory. The period of the judges as they turned from God and worshiped the gods of Baal, the fertility gods, and God comes and rescues them in grace. And we've got the kings and the prophets who call the people back, that God's ready to show grace and forgive them. Again and again, it's grace upon grace upon grace this God shows in such surprising way. And then ultimately, he comes in the flesh to make us his own through his son, Jesus Christ. While we were still sinners, enemies of God, deserving of his punishment, Jesus, the Son of God, was given to lay down his life as a ransom for many for the forgiveness of sins. And that Jesus eventually died on a cross and paid the penalty for your sins and mine. The wrath of God towards sin was poured out upon the Son. He made him to be sin who knew no sin, and then poured out his wrath upon him. Jesus took that punishment to cover our shame. He purchased a pardon for you and for me and every other sinner. And God raised him up from death as a stamp of approval upon that sacrifice and promises a restored relationship, a new life for eternity to those who place their trust in Jesus Christ. It's all free, offered to you and me as a gift, undeserved favor. Surprise. Interestingly enough, Scripture talks about God providing us again with a new garment. It's called the robe of righteousness. When we come to Christ, we are people who become clothed in Christ, the righteous, holy one of God. And that's what God sees when he looks at us wearing that robe. Scripture says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience many will be made righteous." One of my favorite hymns talks about being clothed in Christ's righteousness alone, redeemed to stand before his throne. Once again, it's grace. God's surprising, unexpected grace offered free of charge to sinners like me. It's no wonder that the hymn writer John Newton called grace amazing. It's so outside the realm of natural human thinking. It surprises and amazes and shocks those who are brought into its presence. Jesus shocked people in his ministry when he hung around and reached out to those who were considered to be so undeserving of any sort of attention whatsoever, like the tax collectors and the other sinners of the society. And he shocked them even more when he told the story to them as to why he did this sort of thing. So he told a story about a son who rebelled against his father and was terrible to his father. Ran off, and when he showed up at home again, broke and homeless, the father shocked the son, the community, and the brother by welcoming him home, putting his best robe on that dirty kid, and new sandals and a ring to show that he belongs. And there were no strings attached. It's a surprise story about grace, God's surprising grace. And this grace not only surprises and amazes, it delights, doesn't it? I came across a wonderful story about a woman named Marion, who, when she was a child, got herself into some trouble at home. Listen to Marion's story. She writes, "My dad kept a coin jar on his dresser. Every night when he got home from work, the first thing he did was head upstairs to change his clothes. He could hear the familiar jangling of coins as they spilled from his pocket, and he set them in the jar. When I was about 9 years old, I decided his coins should be mine. Over time, I pilfered a few nickels here, a handful of pennies there, and before I knew it, I had successfully swindled my dad out of his loose change, and he never seemed to notice. Sometime later, guilt gripped me. I knew what I'd been doing could only be considered stealing, and I had no way to explain away my behavior. So with a pounding heart, I penned an apology to my dad, confessing my sin and asking him to forgive me. I tucked it under his coin jar along with a pile of pennies as restitution. I waited anxiously for my dad to confront me. Day one went by, he didn't say anything. Another day, nothing. And then another and another, and eventually I forgot about the note. Then one day out of the blue, he stepped into my bedroom and said, 'Marion, I got your note and the pennies.' My heart raced. My throat felt like a marble was lodged in it. I was expecting punishment, but he seemed on the verge of tears, and that didn't make any sense. I was the one who had wronged him. He had every right to be mad and punish me, but instead he said, 'Thank you,' and then he hugged me, and then he left. And we never spoke of it again. I stood there dumbfounded. Why, when I fully deserved my father's wrath, did he instead show me mercy? I didn't deserve it. I hadn't earned it. I felt like a criminal let off scot-free. This was my first powerful lesson on judgment and grace. Since then, I've never gotten over the way grace feels. It's like waiting for the other shoe to drop, but it never does. It's experience relief and humility in the face of guilt, because you know how bad you can be, but God chooses to love and forgive you anyway. It's truly God's riches at Christ's expense." Now, you may be wondering, what's the point of knowing all this? Maybe, first of all, you've messed up along the way yourself, and you've been trying to run your own life without God's direction. And you think God has no time for you. He's written you off.
Friend, nothing could be further from the truth. This story was saved to invite you to come home. Grace is waiting for you. Billy Graham wrote one time, "We're living in an age of grace in which God promises whosoever will may come and receive his son, but this period of grace will not go on indefinitely. We're even now living on borrowed time." So just consider this as one beggar telling another where to find free clothing. A warm, secure robe of righteousness is yours for the receiving when you place your trust in Jesus Christ. A robe of salvation is yours. But there's another reason as well. It's a reminder to you saints who follow Jesus, who have tasted of his grace and wear that robe already. This God that we worship and then turn around and question and even doubt during hard times is truly worthy and deserving of your trust and devotion and gratitude. So thanks be to God for his amazing, surprising grace. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your amazing grace. We ask this day that you would help us, Lord, to trust in it and build our lives upon it. In the name of Jesus, we ask this. Amen. Now, as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, and within you to give you his peace. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message will help to remind you that God is truly worthy and deserving of your trust, devotion, and gratitude. Give thanks to God for his surprising, amazing grace. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported entirely by the gifts of our listening audience. Estate gifts, large and small, have increasingly become a significant part of our ministry. Please consider a final gift to your favorite ministries as part of your estate planning. Address your letters and gifts of support to Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. All gifts are tax deductible. We praise God for your gifts and prayers. If you've enjoyed today's message and would like to hear it again, we invite you to look us up on the internet at christiancrusaders.org. You can also find a printed copy of today's message, as well as many other spiritual helps. Again, our website address is christiancrusaders.org. CDs and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of any amount to help cover production and mailing cost is always appreciated. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Or call our toll-free telephone number at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and pray you will join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting our service was the Reverend Steve Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota, and radio speaker on Christian Crusaders, now in its 79th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.